Is he hearing me? Well, when we look at our nation and what's going on around us, I think that same question is there. What happened? What is God doing? And as I was just reading this week, I feel like I got the answer out of Psalm 144, verse 1. So if you're there, the Word of God says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength." That's my rock. We just sang. And anybody who lives up here, you know we got rocks, don't you? Anybody ever dig a hole up here? You know, you get, what do you get? You get like 40 rocks and a tablespoon of dirt. That's it, you know, but he's our rock. And it's something I think we should, in the times we're in, consider more often. But blessed be the Lord, my strength, or my rock, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. What? I thought we were supposed to be peace-loving. We are. I thought we would be gentle as a dove. We are, or we should be. So what's God doing, and why is that in there? And I felt like God was trying to show at least me, and I hope the rest of us, he's not teaching us or trying to teach us what a great, easy life this will be if you just believe. How everything you ever wanted would come to you. He's teaching my hands to war, because this is a war of faith that you and I are in every single day of our life, whether it's personal at home or our country or whatever. And it's not time any longer, I feel, for myself and the Christians at large to just remain silent, not say anything. What kind of, and I'm not talking, and we're going to see that through the text, but I'm not talking about going out there with the weapons of the world's warfare. I'm talking about going in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's teaching us to fight that way. And it's not us that's fighting, it's the Holy Spirit. So what is God doing? He's teaching us to war, to get through this life until he brings us back. He's teaching us that there is much, much more ahead of us than there is behind us. And I think if we approach daily life that way and know that our God is with us and that who can be against us, I wonder what we, and I'm not talking about, you know, just every single minute of the day, unbelievable circumstances happening. I think we will have a strong footing. We will be standing on a rock, even though the waves, the wind, the fire's coming out of us. We can stand knowing that our Lord is in control. So as we approach Hebrews 11, that one I just felt like, it's almost what Hebrews 11 is talking about in a sense, because everything that we've seen so far, God has been involved in that. So let's turn to Hebrews 11. The similarities of this time as we look at our heroes of the faith. During this time, this section that we're in with Gideon and the rest that we're going to read in Hebrews 11:32, this was a time of the judges. And faith was at a low at that time, if we can put it that way. Everyone, we can see through the scripture, says that everyone did what was right in the sight of their own eyes. Doesn't that seem like something very familiar? Like a little deja vu, they used to say. Everyone did what was right in the sight of their own eyes. There was apostasy running rampant at this time. The nation itself was at an all-time low. I've always promised I'll never be political here. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a monarchist. I serve a king. Amen. And I don't say that flippantly. So we're at a low, though. That's obvious if we open our eyes. And anyhow, and the worst thing was that worship at this time, when we read about Gideon and the ones were, if you were a worshiper at that, it could have been the death penalty. That's a, you know, you'd say, what? That'll never happen. We need to open our eyes. Amen. There are people all over this world that are giving their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we approach this one verse again today. Let's see what God has for us. So we're going to read Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David, also in Samuel. That looked like Samson. I already said Samson. And Samuel and the prophets. So we're looking at Gideon. Father God, open our ears. Still our minds right now, Lord. The tyranny of that world out there that just assails us every minute. Just let it be quiet right now while you're on your throne. Show each and every one of us the possibilities, Father, that exist because of you, not because of us. And how you want to, the prayer that Rick's desperate times, desperate people, you've got this, Lord. And you want to use us to show others in this time the power and the glory of your name. So open our eyes of our heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. 32. And what more shall I say? Boy, we look at this, and I think it's an example, if we would, of it's godly faith. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. But it's also a picture for us, and I almost thought quiet faith was the name of it. But I think it's a hidden faith, because I feel that those of us who claim Jesus Christ, has anybody been saved in here more than a day? All right. I say it that way because the Holy Spirit's been living in us for 40-something years, some of us, 50 years, 30 years. My goodness. What exists within us? I'm not just talking about the possibilities that could happen, but this is a hidden faith, and I think it's in each and every one of us. Oh, yeah, we know we have it. We know the Holy Spirit lives in us, and I'm capable of getting up and doing worship every Sunday and singing and doing. It goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond that, and there's a hidden faith in each and every one of us that I think God wants to raise up. He wants us to see it. He wants us to own it. He wants us to allow him to develop it, if we would. So godly faith, hidden faith, quiet faith, whatever you might want to put this as. The author of Hebrews makes a statement, for what more shall I say? What more shall I say? What more can I say, basically? Because he could say more. He's got example after example after example of heroes of our faith, men and women, and more to come. And what he was actually saying was, and what more shall I say, for the time would fail me? He's writing a letter. He's trying to encourage these Christians to be strong. The Jews that came around, became Christians, they were under persecution. He was trying to encourage them, don't give up, don't give up, don't go back, don't go into those things that you left, So it's not like he doesn't care, and what more can I say? I'm out of words. No, he's saying, I've got examples. How much more can I give you as you read this for an encouragement, Doug, to your faith of what I'm capable of by using, here's what we don't like, using my defective heroes. What? Well, when we read about these men and women, they were defective heroes. Every one of them, and we might get to, they had problems, and they weren't just, walking in this bubble and everything was perfect around them. Every one of them had problems, but yet God used them. It's because he doesn't look at our failures, he looks at our faith. And that's what we see right here in this. It's just a beautiful story. So it's not so much, I can't say anymore. I can't further convince you anymore. You have to read this on your own. What are the possibilities in your faith with where you are? So I thought, I didn't want to do it with time, but I think we should turn to Gideon. Judges 6 is that story. I won't read the whole story. But I think it's good at times to refresh our minds because we forget what all the points are in some of these stories and where they're supposed to be applied in my life. So has anybody read about Gideon this week? Maybe you got ahead on the assignment or something, but if not, it's a wonderful, and don't stop with what I'm just gonna detail today. Read the rest of it. go up to chapter 8 and 9 and whatnot, continue to read that story of this hero of our faith that we're looking at. All right, so, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. I want us to start, maybe just break, bless you, Neen, just by looking at some of this stuff this week when you reread this. That little verse in 2, it speaks of hiding and running to man-made places for peace and safety instead of God. Where do we run when we're in trouble? When everything's good, right? Praise the Lord, oh, bless you, Ben. When things start going wrong, this is the faith that God wants to look at and see, where are those possibilities with me in your mind, in your heart. So they ran to dens and caves and hid, and I think it's going to be a picture of Christianity very soon. And so it was, verse 3, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase of the earth till they come to Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. Kind of a scorched earth policy. They just took everything away from them, thinking that this was going to destroy them. I think very similarly, we are seeing a lot of our God-given rights taking away from us, hoping that will collapse and crush. But they forget that God's got this. They came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers or locusts, some of you might have on there, for the multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. All right, stop, circle it, just think, ask yourself in the privacy of, you know, your own bedroom or living room, where do I go when I'm in trouble? There's the place we go, cry to the Lord, not just throw it up and then just run our own pattern and everything else. These guys knew where to go. Verse 8, and the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt, and I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Remember where we were, each and every one of us. Some of us were never really in bad spots in this life, but you were still in a spot called death. Period. Amen. You were born to die. That was, you know, that's how it... I used to have a Harley. There's still something in there that got to get saved and reborn. Just push that out of me. You know? Oh, boy. Remember where we were. I just remembered. That was God giving me a sign, I think, you know. That there'll be no more Harleys in your life ever. Where do we go when we're in trouble? Where do we go when we're in trouble? Do we have that? And remember where we were when we were in that trouble and what God brought us out of. We didn't do it. I think how many of us have said, well, how'd you do that? And back then, well, I didn't do it. It almost, it just started happening. This change in our lives took place. So remember, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, whatever it might have been. Every one of us had something that held us, some kind of chain, some kind of, you know, drugs and money and lusts and alcohol, homes, our bodies, how we looked to other people. We were all in some kind of bondage, yet God delivered us out of it. And I delivered you out of the hand, in verse 9, of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of those that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I'm the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Again, when we read it this week, I need to, have I obeyed his voice? I think most of us honestly can say, more than not, but there's a whole lot of times that I don't obey the Lord's voice. That's a choice that we have in this life. And it's going to be important as we try to apply Gideon's life to our lives. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Bezerite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it, underline that. We all know this story from the Midianites. So here, the story of Gideon, and all of us, and if we don't know it, well, then good, I'll go on with it. He was down in the winepress. Wine and grapes are down in the valley. Wheat was threshed up on the top of mountainsides, because you would take the wheat and you would throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow all the chaff away, and the wheat would fall down, and you just continue. So here's this brave man, a hero of faith, Gideon, down there hiding because he's a coward, basically, of what's happening. And he's throwing it up in the air, and it's coming right down on his head. Pat and I, for 40 years, have fed 20 horses a day. Did you ever get hay down your back? Serious. I mean, yeah. Danny smiled. You know what it feels like, and you itch. So what kind of brave hero am I now going to apply some of my life to, maybe, if I can do this with the Lord? He was a coward, and he was doing this down there. I mean, I find it as kind of funny, to be honest with you. So he was threshing this wheat down in there, and the angel of the Lord, verse 12, appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You mighty man of valor. You mighty man and woman of valor. That's how God is looking at us. I mean, that's hard for at least me to understand, knowing what goes on in here, knowing what comes out of here, knowing what sometimes is in here. And God speaks to this coward, speaks to this guy that you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, pardon me? What does it say in yours? Oh, my Lord, right? Oh, my Lord. Or ex-New Yorker, you talking to me? God is saying, you mighty man of valor. And he answers, oh my Lord, excuse me? If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? I'm a Christian. Why is this happening to me? Why did your dad die? Why did grandpa die? Why did our daughter die? Why did your mother die? Why did the husband live? Oh, isn't that us? Always questioning God. Don't we remember that he's the potter, we're the clay? What are you doing? Only when the times usually go bad, though. And that's where our faith is most necessary. Why is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. God's promise was, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Never, never, never. When adversity strikes, we question him. That's us right there. When prosperity hits, we bless him. We bless him like crazy. It shouldn't be, is what God is trying to teach me. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? This is human responsibility and God's sovereignty. We always expect God to do everything. I've been praying. God, you didn't do this. I've been praying. You didn't save him or her. Wait a minute. Human responsibility. I have to make, you know, God will move, you know, he'll direct our paths. Yeah, if we move our feet. If we move our feet. We've got to walk. We've got to step into his power, his grace, his ability, not looking at mine like Gideon did. Have I not sent thee? So we have human responsibility. Go. So I don't know what he's telling anybody today. Go. There's something that's making you doubt, something that's making you and I fear. We don't know what's going to be the end of it or anything. And God is saying, go in your, you have to go. But I sent you. I sent you. Nothing that we're doing escapes God's vision, his plans. He knows all about it. 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor, Manasseh, and I'm the least or the youngest in my father's. Excuses, excuses, excuses. That's all we usually come up with. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and you will smite the Midianites as one man. That's I feel a promise still to us today, unless God has changed. Whatever it is that we're going out against, God is with us. He knows where we're going, and he's going to take care of it. Now, it might not be tomorrow. We might have to wait 20 years. I don't know. But, you know, couldn't something like my brother, you know, my brother was born with osteo, which was a form of polio. And he walked around with a limp because his leg was like 4 inches shorter for all of his life. And then they did a hip transplant that came in. And I remember my brother getting up here and saying, some miracles take a long time to happen. But when they do, they're like that. You know, so we've got to take this somehow. I'm going to jump to 24 with time going here. Verse 24 says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace is what that is. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Do you have a place? Do I have a place where we go? Or are we just so busy, so caught up in the me of it that we don't take time to have a, you know, this was a special place. He built an altar there to the Lord, my peace. Where do you have to go? A bedroom, close the door, out in a barn. I'd do some of my best praying out in a barn. So I do some of my best complaining out there too. It's embarrassing. Do you have a place to go? What else can I pick out? Jump over to 34. You're going to read all the other details. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. In the Hebrew, that word came upon, its translation is that the Holy Spirit clothed Gideon with himself. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us, unless I'm mistaken. He's living within us and under, you know, that's me under there. Well, look at that. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, with that here. But no, that's me. He wants to clothe me like this shirt. Boy, that's a nice shirt you got on there today. That's a nice dress you're wearing. Where'd you get that? Wow, what is that glow about you? That's the Holy Spirit. He wants to clothe you with himself. I mean, and please, if I read this wrong, let me know that. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. And he sent messages throughout all Manasseh, who also were gathered unto him. And he sent messages unto Asher, and he names all these. In 36, Gideon said unto God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool out. Here we start to get that problem again. Are we trusting God or are we not? And God honored this one, so I don't want to say too much, but one minute he gets a fleece and he rings it out. Oh, there's my sign from God. Maybe it won't work out that way. Maybe that just happened. So God, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to flip it around the other way. And isn't that us? Show me another sign. Let me understand that if I step out for you, you're already out there. Well, he's already out there. He's probably so close that if we turn our noses, we'll go like that. Amen. If it was a physical relationship. This is a spiritual one, though. We might not be able to see it, but we need to know this. No fleeces from now on. No what ifs and what about. How about, what if God blesses our life unbelievably because of just my faith? And he's willing to forget everything that I was, everything that meant something to. He's willing to put that aside in his sovereignty and look at my faith. What could happen in your life? I don't know. Only God knows that. I better keep. Boy, 7 is wonderful. You read the rest of 7, because I was going to go clear to verse 21, I think, in there. Great little story in there. So, God's sovereignty, our human responsibility. Application is what is a living word. It's a word that God wants to encourage us, as the writer of Hebrews was trying to do to them. I feel the Spirit of God is trying to encourage us today in our walk with him and our service for him. We forget that. It's one thing to walk with God, but it's another thing to serve God. That's why we're saved. S-O-S, serving our Savior. That's what that is. You had Coast Guard. S-O-S, right? We should bring those pins back again. Serving our Savior. Serving our Savior. What is that? You know? Everything that we experience, I feel, in this life daily, God doesn't cause it. We all know that, I hope. But he can use and increase every single circumstance that comes into your life and my life. And why he is doing in this is just a test of Gideon's faith. He is testing our faith. And what he wants to do is show, I think, he knows where I am. He wants to show us where we truly are. When we look at these, I hate using the word stories, these truths. And I try to apply, he wants me to see where I am. See, this is a mirror and it reflects back at me. And sometimes I see a little growth, sometimes I see no growth, sometimes I see a guy that I don't even recognize. God wants to show us where we are right now. But more than that, I think he wants to show us where he can bring us. Possibility-wise, where he can bring us if we just have that faith of a mustard seed, which ultimately will bring him all the glory. In my warped little acrostic thinking all the time, I thought of 3G, God gets glory. That's my whole life. You know, it's a 3G network. Everything that's going on down here somehow goes there and it comes back down here, just like our new, and I don't like 5G, so don't let me get on that anyhow. But it's a network that, you know, God is trying to pour down to us so we can pour back up to him that glory, but yet then he brings it back down to somebody else. This is exciting business that we're being involved in. So how do we apply this? Let me just do a few. Timothy, 1 Timothy, if you would. My lesson, our lesson. How do I, what's my application here, Lord? 1 Timothy 6, 12. We're instructed. So again, remember, it's not, and I can jump ahead by Ephesians. When I say fight, this is spiritual warfare that we're in. And it's going to get worse. It's a war for our faith. It's not a war to crush Doug, bring him back to who he was or any of that. All that the enemy of our lives, our souls, wants is to get us to deny Jesus Christ and the power thereof. This is a fight we're in. This is a battle, but it's not physical. You know, if we have to fight each other, one's going to win. Unbelievable. You know, no matter, usually the biggest person. But this is a spiritual battle. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual battle that's going on. And oh, how do you fight a spirit? I've said this before. You know, I'm not proud of it. I've been in a lot of fights in my life. And you know the guy is in front of you. Where do you fight a spirit? Where is he? How do I kick him at least? How do I knock him off? You can't do it. Only God knows that right now. He'll tell us where it's coming from. He'll warn us about where they're going to come up, as we see in Chronicles. But that battle we're in is a spiritual one. So when I read this, fight the good fight. I told us to turn to Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold, grab, agonize is what that word is saying. This is not an easy walk. And without the Holy Spirit, this walk is not hard. It's impossible. It's impossible. And he's telling us, fight the good fight of faith in the spiritual realm. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Wow. Wouldn't that be beautiful if somebody said, oh, yeah, that guy, Doug, oh, man, you ought to see how angry he gets at times. Hey, that guy, Doug, or that girl, Pat, or Shannon, boy, they're godly. I don't know what it is. I don't buy it, but there's something else. Wouldn't that be nice to fight a fight that way, that they would see that God. You know, I feel that our appearance to others in these fights, to the people who are watching us, it's almost like when the word says, come, taste, see that the Lord is good. Somebody this week is going to see that, or hopefully just get a little taste from one of our lives and maybe inquire of the Lord. Don't know. But like Gideon, I think the application is the same as Proverbs 4, Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. All is in there, though. He'll overlook the flaws and the failures. I guarantee it, because I'm standing here today. But we won't be moving in that same force and power as the army of Gideon did, when all they had was a torch covered with a pot and cracked it, which the old joke, wasn't it? We're just crackpots, all of us. We are. Something that makes no sense whatsoever is on its way into my life, your life, your life, your life. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm getting a word, but I know God is not done working. And he's trying to build this army and get us to stop fighting one another and fighting all the ones that are out there and just start to stand, as he said. Stand and watch the salvation of your Lord. Because if I start fighting the way every one of us think about fighting, then I get the glory or I get laughed at. If everything works out, God gets the glory. And then he just keeps moving it and putting it in and putting it in. What would that day be like? But Doug, I don't have that. I know Rick might have it, Shannon, she's one, you know, we name others who are mighty in the faith, we think. I don't have that. Well, I think that's why, 2 Corinthians 12. This is why I feel the Lord put this in here for us for a time such as this. 2 Corinthians 12. I'm not like that. I can't fight that spiritual. You don't know what I have coming against me. I don't, but God does. I don't know what you fight every day in your home. I don't know what you fight every day with yourself, with your health, with your thoughts, but God does. Well, yeah, but I'm just so weak. You know, I've tried to stop, because God is saying here in 9, unless I want to make him a liar. And he's, when Paul was saying, oh yeah, but my eyes in this story, remember? You know, I asked the Lord 3 times to heal me. How many times did somebody ask the Lord to take a serious problem out of their life this week? 3, 4, 5 times? Well, God's answer might not always be a mighty, you know, miracle rushing wind, but it's stability. And what he's saying here is, he said unto me, my grace, circle the word is, very little word, my grace, not might be, not could be. If you really straighten up, I'll work on it. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. God gets the glory. Therefore, and this one I don't have any right to even preach on it yet, other than a moose stomping. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. How real is that? How real is it? I just watched Christians today, and I was, I feel at times I've just said enough. How much can we take? And God always says just a little bit more, just a little bit more. Because I feel that God gives his toughest battles, and you're in one today somehow, financial, medically, spiritually, on a balance between really accepting Jesus Christ and trying to go forward a little bit more. God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. And that's what you are. You're in God's service. You're God's soldier. You can't ask for a transfer today. I'll read that maybe next week, because God's not giving a transfer. I need you right where you are, right where you are. Because Doug Gibney or whoever big name you know, want to throw in besides my little name, they're not going into your battle. You're going in there. But you and I can stand with the power of our Lord and Savior. How about one more? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll get there. I don't know what God's doing with you, what he wants to do with you. There's times I don't even know what God is doing with me. I know I'm the pastor, and I know I have to, and I, you know, I shouldn't say have to, it's a blessing.
You got stoned.
I got what?
I got stoned?
Stomped.
Oh, I thought you said I got stoned. I thought, what? Wow. Nobody told me. Yeah. But in verse 26, I think this is going to be important so that we might be able to get out of the threshing floor. Stop. Man, I bet it's not my eyes and my hair that's going. It's my ears, too, now. Don McClure one day, when he had a heart attack, his mouth went and his hand went, and he said, Lord, I know you're coming back for me, and I can't wait, but please don't come back in pieces for me. In 26, and let's end it with that, as we step out this week, like I said, from the threshing floor, from the hidden faith that we know exists in there, I got it, but I just can't get out there. Yes, we can, because it says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. God gets, what's this all about? What's happening is how we started. God is trying to move this army forward, have us realize that every one of us, just like in the service, every person has a function. Not everyone is sitting in a trench at the fight, but there are people that are supplying everything necessary. There are people that are putting water into trucks, and so every one of us are necessary in the body of Christ. And I think that's what he wants to show you and I. So he took 32,000 men at the beginning of the story and knocked it down to 300 men and chased these guys down the road. Wouldn't you like to see that?
Oh, yeah.
Ouch. I would love to see it. So God links heroes of faith with our personal failures. Go figure. What's that about? There's got to be some really good, perfect Christians around right now that can do something more than us. See, that's the thought. But no, here we are. And I sure don't want them to make some boulder out there, a rock in the road, scream his glory. I want to do it. You want to do it, I hope. So, onward, Christian soldiers. Remember that one? Marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. God bless you, men and mighty women of valor.
Amen.
Crack your pot and see what can happen this week.
So can I share
some? You may.
Nate led us in Bible study today. What did we talk about? God just weaves it all together.
You closed with exactly what we were talking about, and I was looking for Nate to see where he was.
I was too.
Yeah. Exactly what we discussed in there.
Wow.
And there's no way that word could have come out if it had not come through the Holy Spirit for you to say those words, period.
I believe God speaks in one voice. You know, you hear Sunday sermons, TV, but listen, because the ones that there is that pattern going through it, a thread that combines everything, God is doing that.
Hi.
All right. Well, let's stand and worship our Lord and go out of here victorious, huh? Hey, Mike, can I say this?